Talking today with the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma's 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Mr. Chairman, let's talk about several things going on right now. I guess maybe one of the things that came out yesterday that a lot of your colleagues are commenting on today, EPA announcing what some folks are calling a pretty large land grab right now in regards to the Clean Water Act. Your early thoughts about what you've seen thus far from this particular pronouncement.
Let me just simply say I think this is another example of why we need to reform these statutes to deal with clean water, the Endangered Species Act. There's a number of things out there that since their passage through rules and regulations, through interpretation by various bureaucrats in the executive branch, have taken on a life all in their own. While the particulars in this case I don't think are dramatically different than some of the things in a lot of other cases, it just means we need to do something about these old statutes that were not intended to take away control of people's property rights to affect their ability to make a living or to enjoy their property.
Seems like that the EPA and several agencies within the Obama administration have looked at a lot of these laws, and they've tried to go right to the edge and in a lot of cases gone over the edge as far as what the authority is written in the statute.
The president has said repeatedly, President Obama has, Ron, over the course of the last year and a half, that if he couldn't get Congress to do what he wants Congress to do, then he would use executive authority, he would use instructions to his staff in the entire executive branch, in effect, to do what he wanted to do. That is so contrary to the Constitution. The Constitution says Congress shall pass laws. The president can either veto or sign them. If Congress determines that they want to override by two-thirds, then the law still becomes law. But the bottom line is this. President doesn't write the laws. Under the Constitution, Congress does. The president is supposed to administer the laws. So this is another example of some people would say ruling, but trying to rule by presidential decree through the bureaucracy, and that's just wrong, Ron.
Well, along those lines, one of the battles that basically was put off within the 2014 farm law was some of these livestock issues again, the Obama administration has issued some rules that a lot of folks in the industry do not like. Country of origin labeling kind of at the top of the list, GPSA rules as well. Do you foresee, I know that you'd indicated at one point you thought there would likely be some committee hearings, some subcommittee hearings. Is that going to happen this spring?
We will have committee hearings, whether it's the spring or in early summer, we will. I'm still in the process of discussing with my subcommittee chairman and the committee at what point we want to do those, which should be prioritized first, but there will be action. I'd also note to you, Ron, in some things like GPSA, where the appropriations process has in effect had an impact on GPSA rules, in effect delaying many of them over the last 3 years, don't be surprised if that doesn't become an issue again in the ag appropriations process. On country of origin labeling, one of the most difficult issues there in the Farm Bill process was not only the staunch opposition of the United States Senate to any changes, but the fact that our friends in the very diverse livestock community out there, some folks up here like to call them the Barnyard Coalition, are having a hard time gelling on just what they define as an acceptable outcome for this process. So we have some struggles within the ag community to address. We'll do our legislative hearings. And some things, if they can't be done in regular legislative order, may well, as they have been in the past, be addressed in the Ag Appropes Bill, the bill that funds USDA for the coming year.
Let's talk about Farm Bill implementation, if we might. Now that we've got the law in place, USDA's been crunching on it for a while. They've got Krista Harden over there kind of leading the effort of trying to get everything implemented. Any updates? Have they given you any signals that you've noticed in regards to how things are coming together?
I think what I pick up privately is also what has been discussed publicly. They're moving very aggressively to try and address the drought disaster issues. Many of our listeners are well aware of that the president took note of the drought in California not many months ago that caught his attention. Well, we in the Southwest went through a drought in 11, 12, the first half of 13. And if you're in certain parts of the Panhandle or central West Oklahoma, you know that we're sliding back into drought condition again. Doing the paperwork, doing the rulemaking, doing the process to get those programs up and going, I agree, should be a priority, and I think that's still on track. But whether it's developing the rules for the various choices that all producers will have, all the other things out there on. They've got a lot of material to work through, and I think I've been assured by the Secretary that they're moving as diligently as they can, but our friends, we just have to be patient just a little longer.
A side note, even as we speak, Mr. Chairman, it is raining in your locale back home.
I will call home now and visit Linda Lucas. It'll be a better conversation.
I would think that at least the radar is showing that. Let's put it that way. It may be evaporating by the time it hits your land. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about one of those things that's out there right now. You mentioned livestock disaster assistance, but the other thing that was really talked about a great deal, and we're hearing more talk since that time by some of your Democratic colleagues and others, the need to still look hard at crop insurance. Are you anticipating any runs at crop insurance through the appropriation process this year?
I can't think of an appropriation bill since I've been here that hasn't had at least one amendment dealing with restricting the overall amount of money going into crop insurance, or trying to restrict how much coverage producers can purchase, or restricting who can access the program. It's my hope that we fought those battles in the farm bill process to a sufficient degree that we brought the membership up to speed, that we can turn those things back. Just because we have had some expensive years in crop insurance in the last few years because of phenomenal droughts in the Midwest in 2012 and phenomenal droughts in 11 and 12 and much, depending on which crop you're in places like Oklahoma, in 13, that's what crop insurance is for. Like any form of insurance, in the good times, it doesn't pay anything out. But in the bad times, when producers need it the worst, is when you make the payment. So we'll be attacked for the cost of the programs, but the fact of the matter is they're simply working. They're delivering the resources when Mother Nature dictates that we need help out there.
Backing up just a little bit on the implementation, are you getting a sense that we're basically going to be pretty well done with the 2014 wheat crop, and then we're going to be signing up well after the fact? Is that pretty well the way it's going to be as far as you can tell?
I suspect that is indeed the case. But most of our listeners out there who've been farming for any period of time know, unfortunately, that typically in the implementation of the new farm bill, we put the crop in the ground in the fall before we know exactly the lay of the land. But understand, between the choices on PLC or ARC, the options within crop insurance, the vehicles are coming. It's my hope that as the department puts more and more rules together, as they begin to go out to acquire the software, that the information then will become available not just to us individually, but to our friends at the land-grant universities like Oklahoma State and Langston, to the private research institutions like Noble Foundation, and that they will be working aggressively to make sure that we all have the necessary information to make the right decisions about our individual farms and ranches when we get to that sign-up point.
As far as your calendar for the spring, what do you have some things that you're wanting to still to accomplish here in calendar year 2014 within the Ag Committee?
The next big item that we'll take up, and I suspect, Ron, that'll be next month, April, will be the reauthorization of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. This is the entity that the Ag Committee has jurisdiction over that supervises futures trading as well as the derivatives markets. This is a multi-trillion-dollar industry in the United States and around the world. That will be the next piece of legislation. Some of my colleagues in the Senate have indicated they'd basically like to take the authorization that exists now and simply push it out so many years. But there are things within Dodd-Frank, and we're still working on the final draft of the bill, things that need to be done to clean up what I would define as mistakes made in that big, giant financial re-regulation bill passed when Barney Frank was chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, and Chris Dodd was chairman of the Senate Banking Committee. But like the farm bill, in the environment we're in, we'll have to have things that are very understandable, very straightforward, that obviously need to be fixed in order to create a consensus so that we can not only pass it out of the House, get it through the Senate, and maybe even get the president to sign that. So CFTC, which is involves a huge amount of the American economy, that reauthorization will be our next big subject matter in the committee and hopefully on the floor soon thereafter.
That's a scary thought, Barney Frank, chairman of the House Ag Committee.
Oh, call it a Freudian slip. Call it the coast of Christmas past. Call it the worst nightmare for anybody that raises food and fiber. But no, I'm still chairman of the House Ag Committee this year, and Barney is no longer a member of the United States House. Let's just period leave it at that.
That's true. One last question, sir. Yesterday, Ag Day celebrations going on across the country in various forms and fashions this week. Yesterday, the dedication of a statue of Norman Borlaug within the U.S. Capitol, and I would think that would be a good reminder to us of the value of agricultural research and of modern production agriculture, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Borlaug, probably the most prominent name in what many people refer to as the Green Revolution of the 60s and 70s, where we, in effect, doubled the amount of food that we could raise on this planet, had he and his fellow researchers, ag scientists, not accomplished the things they did, which we now build off of, Ron, there might not be enough calories for everybody on this whole planet every day. So he really is important, not just to agriculture, but he represents, with his accomplishments and the industry that he was a part of, he represents, that's why we have the future we have now.
Most certainly, the work that we do even now, as far as the ag research dollars that are part of the report of the 2014 Farm Law, it's important that we keep that public part of the agricultural research pie going, right?
Absolutely, Ron. I occasionally have folks I serve with up here who say, "Let private industry do this. Why have land grants? Why have public research institutions? Why have the ARS, the Ag Research Service, within USDA? Why have all those facilities?" I would simply remind everyone, as I remind the naysayers up here, where do we think the scientists come from that private industry utilizes? They're trained at places like Oklahoma State and Langston. They're trained at land-grant universities all across the country. They provide the brain power, so to speak, for private industry. But just perhaps as important as that, by having public dollars and public research, we provide different alternatives for farmers and ranchers to access the latest technology. You shouldn't only be able to go to one place and pay for it exclusively to access the information. Having competition within the research community, both public and private, benefits every farmer and rancher, and once again, benefits every consumer in the United States and on the planet. So, yes, continuing public research is an absolute necessity.